නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ පුනහු සමානෝ ගෝතමෝ එවං හිනෝ සුතේ ඕතරන්ති ති Dear Dhamma friends, we are now in a residential retreat, and as I took time to lay down the basic principles and the tenets regarding a residential retreat and what must be our mental attitude, whereby we must facilitate the time, the retreat time, with the moral restraint, and we must take time little for talks like this. That is for the theoretical understanding, and we have already taken time for discussion, that is to say discuss among ourselves and communicate each other. That is called sakachanugahita. And then the fourth aspect is still we have to sit and meditate to gain some kind of a concentration, that is called concentration or serenity facilitating. And the last one is the wisdom, and wisdom is to how to make use them and to use it for the purification of the being at least. So keeping that in our mind, today we are going to start the particular sutta appointed by the birth group known as Magandhiya Sutta, that you find in the Majjhima Nikaya, middle length sayings, and in the middle part of the middle length sayings. So as far as the Tipitaka, the three baskets of the discourses are concerned, some analyze it and say, if you wish to know the moral restraint, the how to step into the practice, the best thing is to read is the long discourses called Digha Nikaya. It is starting with the Chula Sila, Majjhima Sila, Ukkata Sila, and what is the area concerned with the moral restraint. That is to say, the physical and verbal restraint. Of course, the whole Digha Nikaya, the long discourses carrying a lot of information. But it is more specialized in the morality. And then when you come to the Majjhima Nikaya or the middle end saying, that what we are quoting is famous for concentration or concentration restraint. Samatha Anugahita, and this is basically good for meditators to directly read as far as they are under the moral restraint. They can keep on, because one sutta or one discourse is carrying number of episodes for the gradual development, and direct discourses or sermons directly from the Buddha, directly from the teacher. So Magandhiya Sutta also something like that. And when you are furtherance going to the wisdom training, Anguttara Nikaya, Sanguttara Nikaya, that the concise discourses and gradual discourses, they are giving a lot of topics and dealing with different incidents and the experiences, and categorize under various subtopics, and give a vast body, altogether more than 15,000 discourses. The last one is the Kuddaka Nikaya. They are sundry items, all the essence parts, and unavoidable parts, but they don't carry much of the history, they don't carry much of the stories, just facts. So only people, those who are familiar with the moral restraint and the concentration restraint and the wisdom restraint can get the idea. Otherwise, only the essence is there. That is just a briefing about the discourses, Sutta Pitaka, and direct approach is the best way. But when I started, when I came to the Nisarnavani and asked the senior monks at that time, they told you can directly read Majjhima Nikaya, the book that we are referring now, and if there are any difficulties, you can come and ask. But you have in the Buddha Jayanti, the Sri Lankan version, is having one side the Pali discourse and the other side, other page, they have done in a text. They have made the text in such a way, one page translated to one page. It's in Sinhala. So luckily now, with the help of these Buddha Jayanti translations, Buddha Jayanti Tipitaka, and of course with the Burmese and Siama, the Thailand version, Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi is advancing now, is present or publishing one after the other more revised version of the Pali Text Society. So Majjhima Nikaya part, Majjhima Nikaya discourse itself, he himself edited in number of times. So that means the terminology, the ideas, and the quotation and the references from the other areas are ever increasing like an encyclopedia. So we, for this discourse, basically use Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation, so we have kind of a consistency. So to start the before going into the facts, I would like to just brief about the background at which the discourse took place. It was the pyre, or the place where they are offering the god of fire, and it's a continuous offerings and fire is happening. So Bharadwaja is one of the very renowned and true to type kind of a Brahman, and Magandhi also same kind, he pay visit to the shrine room of the Bharadwaja, and he find already prepared sitting place for a recluse. Then he asks, who is the visitor? Appear like a recluse. Who is your visitor? Then Bharadwaja give a very positive, very invitive introduction about the Buddha. Says this place is now presently occupied by the Buddha. Then he is very renowned and he is having this kind of 9 epithets and all the qualities. And he has gone for the alms rounds. And then the Magandhiya is making a very kind of a sarcastic or kind of a critical Bunasi Samano Gotamo, Bunahu Samano Gotamo. He is the man that he is against that, he's a destroyer of growth. He don't like the development, he don't like the growth, he don't like the development rather. And why I am telling like that is because in our books, in our discourses, said in such a way. Then again, the Bharadwaja, the host, telling don't say like that, because he is a very virtuous person and he is having such and such qualities. And he is happy about the visitor. And then the Magandhiya says, no, I have no hesitation. Even if he is here, I will tell him to the face. And if you don't mind, please let him know that Magandhya came and Magandhya made such a statement. And while discussion happening, the Buddha himself come and take the seat. And then the Buddha knew by his clairvoyance and the magical powers such a thing happened. Bharadwaja is talking positive and the Magandhya is talking negative. With that, the Buddha asked Bharadwaja, the host, what is the discussion you have? Do you have anything to report me? Then, knowing that Buddha knew the atmosphere, then directly the Magandhya is telling, Bunahu. Bunahui means that he is not happy with the growth or development. So, that means negativist or destructive, nihilistic kind of idea. Then the Buddha is asking, are you sure that you are making such an allegation against me? Yes. Because I am well versed in my Veda books, that means Sanskrit Hindu books or Brahmin books, they say these kind of the teachers, they are not social in the sense, they are not for productivity, they are not for the growth, they are destructive, they are nihilistic, they are backward kind of people. So then the Buddha says, so you know that I am a kind of a person, I know the eye is always happy to see different colorful, delightful and happy things, and knowing that, I restrain myself from the incessible desire for see things, see forms. So do you think that is why you are telling me that I am against the growth? Then the Magandhya is telling yes. So now this is the point I would like to out of this Magandhya Sutta, how we people, mendicants, consider about the seeing things. Seeing things means the seeing shapes and colors and the world, which I hope represented by Magandhya, is going for black and white to color to the 3D, 4G, and about to 5G and three-dimensional kind of a visual, audio-visual things. And that is they call productivity, the development and the advancement of the technology. So therefore, if someone is going to say against it, you are going against the grain. But we, in a retreat, we are not promoting that kind of thing. We don't have televisions. We don't have magic shows. We don't have acrobats. So we are restrained. We are about to restrain and we are trying, but we can't because our images at home is ever coming whenever we close our eyes. For example, in sitting meditation, when you come and sit on your cushion or in your meditation bench or a chair, and it is like opening a TV light. Visual objects are happening throughout. And if you happen to do walking meditation outdoor, and you may keep the distance about 2 meters and try to cast down your sight and try to walk, but the eye is not happy. It's always try to go into and catch the strange kind of birds in Perth, strange kind of plants, strange kind of other creatures, all the kind of thing. And when that happens, And if you think that trip to birth or trip to the jhana grove is to like a bird watching or botanical kind of exploration, and if you consider that as a production or productivity or scientific or other technology, and that's your purpose, definitely you have to promote looking this and that and getting notes and the photos and zoom in and zoom out. So therefore, majority of people go to Perth, not to the jhana grove, not to the meditation hall. They may be going for the sightseeing. And for them, if someone says, restrain your eye and don't look at shapes and don't look at colors, definitely you're mad. So therefore, what the Magandhya is telling is the way the world is running. But what is the difference between the yogi or the practitioner, and what is the other parties going for the sightseeing? So are we aware of it? Are we verifying that point? Are we claimed to be mindful people? If that is the case, are we taking Magandhya's side, claiming that restraint means the against the productivity, or taking the Buddha side, whatever it may be, can you make witness, can you verify it? So that is what we are discussing in our question and answer session. Even though we have promised to be mindful, even though we have claimed or acclaimed object for each and every posture, and how the mind is wandering and how it become bewildered, and even though we have idea to keep it in a restrained way, how difficult. So are we appreciating Magandhya in an involuntary way? Or are we denying the Buddha in that involuntary way? Or is there someone having that agenda to pull our mental eye or physical eye from the particular promised object? So if you ask individuals from this question, from the question in such a way, are you sure when you are sitting what must be your primary object? I hope many will raise hand and say yes. If it is not so, it is my mistake, because we have not given the proper instructions. I hope by now everyone knows, at least when you sit for mindful sitting, this is my primary object. If it is not so, please make that sure. To make the task little complicated and to make the task little responsible and to make the task very difficult, I would say when you are walking, you must know where to focus your attention. What must be your focal point? What is your pivotal point? If it is not so, don't hesitate, please ask. Please make it sure, just like finding the assembly ground before going into the complex, and you must know in an unlikely situation, if a fire is going to happen, what is the assembly point? And it's a must, specifically in the Perth area. Last time when we were there, when we were in the Sydney, Brisbane, it's full of smoke. And they are not happy that we are going to have a camp in the Sydney with children, 70 children from interprovincial. They are not happy to give us a chance because the fire danger. So therefore, definitely you must know the assembly ground. So if you are hiring out a place without giving the familiarization talk and the introduction, illegal. Of course, in Sri Lanka, it is not much serious because of the climate and the cool nature, and there is no fire hazards. But if you do not know, that means that you don't have basic facilities. You are not facilitating. You are not facilitating meditation. You must restrain with your morality. You must have basic instructions or Dhamma talk like this. Or you must have session of question and answer session, and you have to ask directly, when I am sitting, this is the point I am focusing, am I correct? And when I am walking, this is my focal point. Is it tally with your teaching bande? And furtherance, situation will be more complicated. When you are brushing your teeth, when you are eating, when you are bathing, when you are stretching your arm and the closing, bending your arm, looking forward, looking backward, each and every time, the compassion of the Buddha, even in the toilet, for the first and the second job, where must be your attention? So if that is not there, not never too late, you have to ask. Under such circumstances, looking here and there, wandering mind, daydreaming, fantasizing, all these indicates your valuable retreat time or valuable your opportunities lost because eyes are happy with Ma Gandhiya. This is the productivity means, the development means, or the creativity means looking at different shapes and the different colors. That's why people are happy to go to supermarkets, happy to go to the cinema halls, happy to go to the acrobats, happy to go to carnivals, because different color combinations are there. And those who have this kind of color combination under the present situation called rich people. Those who do not have, this is their poor nation, poor people, poor families, they can't afford because they are not productive, they are not positive, they are not advanced in the society. So we have to understand the Ma Gandhiya is not just telling out of blues, and he says this is written in the scripts. So when we or when I consider myself looking here and there and seeing different shapes and the colors, am I responsible for that? Even though I have appointed object, how come that? So now what is the task of the Buddha? The Buddha set himself as a role model. No one was happy. Towards the advancement of the sutta, you read, Yudha is quoting himself, telling, he had the royal kind of entertainment, all facilities, and I don't know, he was not happy. And having that kind of amenities and facilities and good fortune, to renounce it for my value, for my understanding, is difficult. It is so difficult, it is appear more than Nibbana. More than Nibbana, because people are so adhered to their well-earned properties. So instead, give them up, and then go as a recluse and restrain himself not to have that kind of looking at things, looking at visual things, is a kind of a phenomena. It's a difficult thing. And how one can volunteer to restrain one's eyes. We are volunteering, but of course with the urge, because with the advice of the Buddha. But the person we are talking, the Buddha himself, there were no role models before. There were no the instructions, but he did it. So Richard Davidson, when I'm reading, he says the mindfulness in the present context, the Western business Buddhism mindfulness and the Eastern way of Nibbanic mindfulness, whatever it may be, is it says it is the one and the only path for the purification of the being. But he says, see, the proportion of a human population who is happy to be mindful. Earlier it was insignificant, now of course it is catching. Then he says, they know by looking at all these kind of thing and hearing all this kind of variety of entertainment, what is happening at the end. Definitely ending up with this unavoidable frustration and tension and all the mental situation. But mindfulness is free. Need no any authority. But why people are not selecting? And therefore, Agandhya is directly challenging Buddha. Not I am behind the Buddha. I am directly telling you, you are destroying the productivity, growth. But there is a witness, the Bharadwaja, he says, don't say like that because the Buddha is a person who achieved something. And he directly declaring and telling, if you love yourself, if you have compassion for yourself, please do it. Now, Magandhi and Buddha is talking each other. But the point I am making is, if you are not mindful, definitely Magandhi is correct. Even if you are mindful, try to be mindful. If you are a failure, that means if you do not know what is the object at which you must seek refuge in each and every moment in your life, then still the Magandhi is correct. But how much of a little proportion can understand the sasana of the Buddha, the message of the Buddha? What are the Buddhist people are doing today? They are making more and panoramic Vesak Gita, Vesak Torang, and pandals, and perahara, puja, all kind of thing. You see how the religion is deteriorating? Max Weber, he explained 4 stages how the religions are destroying from the founder to the against the chronology, against the time. It is nothing but the gain, fame, and all the kind of posh things. So we are witnessing that with so much of disadvantages, so much of the negative examples, and still they are following the same, just like a grasshopper rotating around the open flame. Slowly, slowly he is reaching the flame, and the day catch it, we also can feel the bad smell of the burning of the wings and the limbs. But even with the left wings and the limbs, it is following the same flame. Our generation is exactly same grasshoppers. And they are circling, coming to the shorter life cycles. And whenever they say fire, the commentator is giving a commentary, says they consider this as gold. And reaching, burning, still doing the same. So therefore, if a person to understand the Dhamma and to understand the Sangha and understand the moral restraint, I think it's more difficult than Nibbana. Definitely, I know I am making a controversial. More difficult. So even we people in-house, in this game must have reminding again and again, one split second of mindfulness is giving the universal answer. One split second of mindfulness going to give the universal answer, we are one man army. We can't go hand in hand. We can't claim he is responsible, who is responsible, what is responsible. Nonsense. You have to understand, are we to go into the majority and get completely washed off by the their trends, or take a stand and go into the minority rather, and to appoint assembly ground, and to appoint safe heaven, and understand how difficult, once you appointed your primary object, how difficult to restrain the eye. And the story is going for the all the six organs. As the formal discourse is advancing, the Buddha says they are like six beasts, chappanaka. And a bird, a crocodile, a jackal, a fox, and a dog, the serpent, monkey. They have different inhabitants. They have different foods, and they are bind into a rope, and all the ropes are tightened. So when the eye is taking the advantage, all the other creatures has to just follow to satisfy the eye. When the eye is taking delight and taking eye-catching thing, ear has no saying. The nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind, every becomes slave. And they are going to the an abnormal domain, they have no saying. Eye is the very strong and is catching and taking everything. And whenever the ear, if I am to go to the next, when the ear become powerful, dominant, and it crushed all the other five, you have to go to the listening, and you don't know what happened at that time at the eye door. What happened at that time in the other doors, all are crushed. So we are wild beasts. Who is the agenda? We are talking about the civilization, we are talking about the mother and the children, we are talking about the teacher and the student and the doctor and the patient and the king and the subject. Nonsense. Each and everyone, there's not a single person, is having an agenda. Or rather, we can say everyone is under the Magandhi agenda. Everyone is under the Maharas agenda. And to prove it, it won't take too much of time. It won't take, but thing is, that proof is disadvantageous, unlucky enough, disadvantageous to the beginner. Whenever you try to appoint your primary object, try to keep, how difficult and how much you feel irritated to see this monkey mind. We see these beasts. So the Buddha, taking that Chappanaka Sutta the example, he says, what about all the animals are tied with the rope, but all the ropes are fixed into a one peg. Of course they can move, but up to the rope sight, rope's distance. So the Buddha says, the peg is your body. When the eye is become nonsense and becoming bewildered and taking upper hand, ear is the nose, tongue, body and the mind. If you can be here and now, if you can get hooked up with your body posture, universal answer. But there are today lot of meditations. They are talking highly about this and that, but they think that talking and being with body is very, very Montessori, very, very preliminary. So that is only for the beginners. We are very advanced. We are doing this and that and this and that. Because they are varietal entertainment. And ultimately, they are giving more food, more fertilizer to eye. More food and more fertilizer to the ear, nose, tongue, the body, and the mind. So it's still under the racket of the mind. But the Buddha, giving the kayanupassana, that means taking the body as the anchorage, and definitely it's a failure, definitely it's a disappointing kind of experience, never mind, but at the beginning I feel like disappointing, but not the, at the end. But, even though it's a success story, but you must listen to Dhamma talk again and again while you are practicing. You must share it with others again and again, because mind is wandering. Yesterday my meditation was so good. Very light and light experience and vibration, and I am so adhered with the primary object. Today, it's a completely bewildered, completely scattered. So you feel like the get up and go, give up. But if you can talk, if you can share, if you can report in the exactly what it happens, and if you are disclaiming this behavior, and just writing it as a observer, neutral observer, it is nothing but pure Dhamma. This is the way the mind. This is the way the mind is happening. And you can understand, imagine if you are not mindful. If you are, imagine there is no Buddha. Imagine there is no Dhamma and Sangha. Or discipline as such. I am not subject to discipline, telling that it is a self-appointed open prison camp. Why should I go to the restraint? Think about your family members. Think about your children. Think about your teachers. Think about your religious masters. Think about your all the other co-workers. They will be sarcastically looking at you, telling that you go and sit and just observe as if something negative. Why can't you go and have fun in the go-go show? Of course, with the social distance, now the situation is little advantageous to the meditators. So therefore, soon you appoint your primary object, soon you appoint your assembly ground, soon you appoint your pivotal point, soon you appoint your benchmark, your tension increase. Your frustration increase. Your disappointment increase. So, in a question and answer, if someone is sincerely reporting by discussion and by reasoning out, they can say, whenever mindfulness sets in, whenever mindfulness intact, you are irritated. You are with self-accusation. You always find fault with others. And you expect everything must work in a work-to-rule kind of a work to the letter. That is called pedantic. So therefore, all meditators are in such a agitation that is called dharata and parilaha, according to the Buddha. Because soon you put your attention to the body, body becomes such a nest of pain. Such a nest of uncomfortability and irritation. So you claim this as my irritation, my uncomfortability, my finding fault with myself, and also you attribute to the saman. So this part, how to handle this, how to talk with this, how to share with this, how to interpret. And you can't expect from the academic people. Never that is the subject for the academic. Never by reading the Majjhima Nikaya books you can sort it out. These things are not in the book. We ourselves, those who are sacrificing and doing this lifelong experimenting, That's called noble quest. Talk each other. And then help each other. And that is the way we become a mindful family. We become the blood-related people with the diligence. And we have a lot of things to share. Usually you don't get that in the God believers. They have nothing to, they have nothing verified. They are only based upon the belief. We are also based upon the belief, of course. We are believe in the Buddha. We are believe in the Dhamma and Sangha. And we are practicing Sila. But it's split by split second by split second, we can understand how much mind is going for the growth. Mind is going for the development. Mind is thinking about the creativity and the how to become socialized. I feel so sorry about your children. I feel so sorry about your children because you are misleading them. I can claim because I don't have children. And I have no hope also. But more than you, I am handling so much of children under the Satipasala, and we can understand if you are directly and shortly and short to the point, if you explain, children are much, much better in absorbing this idea than elderly people. So recently I made a trip to Dambana, whereby the Aboriginals or Vedda, Adivasin available, and before going, since others knew that I am going to go, Venerable Chandratana gave me an article where the chieftain made about I think about 8 years ago, and he has written directly we have to tell elders are hopeless. We have a hope for the children. We have to directly tell children we are a bloody idiot group, the elders. And if you can directly tell, the children may understand. Because they are fresh. They are the neuroplasticity. Manability is much. Then I asked, I met him. I told that you have written and this thing. Would you mind to accept mindful school as a remedy for that? That is why he told I collected the whole village. Today 200 children, parents and everything. I spent whole day, so this must be the idea. So he signed with a small note telling, I really appreciate this mindfulness. And everyone asked, does he mindful, does he know mindfulness? Leave it aside, but he's a real leader. He can understand what is happening to the second generation, third generation. He hates development. But categorically he mentioned, Divunu gana katha karanawada mata kenti yanawa. So now Magandhya says Buddha is a destroyer of growth. Bunasi. Bunahu, bunahu. So it's a very complicated term. If you are not mindful, definitely you will be fallen into the trap and taken for a ride and downstream. But if you are mindful, immediately you start, the restriction start, friction start, self-accusation start. So if there are no co-practitioners, where are we? And if you are not believing co-practitioners, where are we? We have to depend on the Holy Script. We have to depend on the secret documents. No. Secret documents, secret, yes. But you have your own direct experience. So therefore, to understand, you have to restrain yourself. So restrainment of I is not under sila. Please understand. That comes when you are going furtherance to the concentration training and the wisdom training. So when you are observing 8 precepts and according to the traditional way, no problem, you can look at everything and kind of thing. But here the 8 precepts is meant directly as the basics for the retreat. And during the retreat time, you of course keep the social distance due to the corona situation. Even without that, we ask, don't make yourself very attractive or distractive for the co-practitioners. And make a attire in a such a way not to distract or attract. Just another tree in the forest. And when you are verbally, you don't talk. So people can't understand why this restraining of the restraint about the words, SMS, slowly, mindfully, silently. So at the beginning, definitely they will protest. Because that while I at home, imagine if you are at home in this hour, what kind of a chatterbox, what kind of a talking and listening happens. So you go to think about immediately cut off, you will go mad. So therefore you must reduce to the short and sweet. Pandita Sayadaw, a lot of signboards are there. He says, tutupio. Tutupio means talk to the necessary point. This is not utter the silence. You can talk, but listen to the listener and the message. Not beyond that. So likewise, when you are restraining, it is never meant for the United Nations or WHO or Manjari Fund. They are mad people. This is for the people already taken precepts, already taken the basic instructions, and they are restraining in sitting, walking and day-to-day activities. And they, whenever they come to know how difficult, even if you have a sincere effort, then we can understand the greatness of the Buddha, greatness of the Dhamma, and the greatness of the lineage, the Sangha, and how, what a kind of adventurous thing to taking up these precepts. It appears like against the productivity, against the development. When you are sitting cross-legged and keeping arm upon arm, you are just the idling. You are not making anything. Instead, when you are doing in the office or kind of thing, how much oxygen you are burning, how much chatter, how much the unwanted thing, how much defilement you are promoting, you will never understand unless otherwise you undertake this mindful practice. So therefore, the early part of the Buddha's presentation is categorically asking, yes, I have restrained my eye. Is that the reason you are saying me bunahu? Yes. I restrain my words and ear. Is that the reason you are accusing me as the destroyer of growth? Yes. And I restrain my nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind. So therefore, I am a destroyer of growth. So this part, to understand this part, you have to wait till you advance to the point you may claim while sitting, I can see 10, 20, 30 in-breaths and out-breaths, or rising and falling predictably. Then you have to understand, you can say, I am sure after this in-breath, out-breath is happening. You can predict, yes, my mind will not wander off. And then after that, in-breath happens. Like when it is happening, it is like a railway engine is on the railway track. It only can go forward and backward, no bending. Like when that happens, you can understand that how much training you need, how much of restraint you need to claim that kind of thing. When you are walking, if you can maintain that, I can walk one whole stretch without wandering. It's a kind of a It's a kind of a personality. It's a kind of a restraint. It's a kind of a immunity. But even at when you are turning, at the end, you become vulnerable. And even if you have a successful sitting, when you get up, definitely you are vulnerable. So now, once you come up to that kind of a one posture, continuity with mindfulness, then you have another challenge. How is the mindfulness at the posture junctions? From sitting to stand, walking and turning. And when that happens, again the mind becomes vulnerable. So therefore, the samatha people, those who are happy with samatha, they are not happy to change the posture. They keep on practicing because that keeping the mind with one object is giving kind of a spiritual gain, contentment. They do not know how to handle it. And whenever the posture changes happen, are we to maintain the mindfulness? They usually are not happy with that challenge. But in insight meditation, we accept this as a norm. We accept this is the way of life. So therefore, soon you become familiar with the one particular object for a certain amount of time. Then you have to be aware how to maintain the mindfulness in the posture junctions. And then when you are furtherance, when you go there, you can understand not the posture junctions. How is the mindfulness between two objects? From mindfulness on the in-breath and out-breath to a sound. From in-breath out-breath to the thought. From in-breath and out-breath to pain. Definitely you have to met up with that. So now, even the children, they can say, when I am in face-to-face with the breath, I know I am with the breath. While I am observing the breath, I can hear noises. While I am observing the breath, I can see mental images. While I am walking, I can see images. But my breath, mindfulness with the breath or mindfulness with the walking is intact. This is very adventurous kind of a reporting. And definitely, of course, you would have experienced it, but hardly you may report it, telling it is negative. And sometimes, when you are advancing further, definitely you are walking, but you are completely forgotten about your movements of the leg, but you are seeing. You are completely carried away by a visual objects. And still you can be aware, in the common jargon, because I am not mindful. I am not mindful. So that is also quite an advanced state, because you know something wrong somewhere. And that also well accepted. It's a very technical kind of a scientific kind of a reporting. You know unmindfulness. That is happening after you install mindfulness. You cannot start with unmindfulness. But you can note unmindfulness. And the last and the most critical part is, while you know you are unmindful, can you look at your primary object? Can you look at your walking mood? Or in sitting, that I am sitting, I am not walking? It's amazing when you come up to that level, you see, even though you are thinking, even though you are carried away by the pain, breath is calming down. Walking is happening automatically. Don't think it is losing the gain, losing the control. It is a kind of a thing we are endowed with. We humans are endowed with. Even the distracting thing is there, still we can say, yes, I am looking from the distraction point of view, but I focus my attention to the body, the posture, or the primary object. And the primary object is meditating. Then that, when such a thing happens, only you can say, you can isolate yourself and practice, even without interviews, even without any instruction, you can go. Because all these four conditions, only pure primary object is distraction of secondary object, and pure secondary object, from the standpoint of the secondary object, you are looking at the primary object. When all the four happens, and happening is one thing, you must have the communication straightened, directly reporting. There are no other combinations as far as the beginner is concerned. So when such a thing happens, you know the visual objects loses its ground. It loses its grip. It becomes less inflictive. Because your mindfulness is such a taking the advantage and taking the epical dominancy, it knows wherever it goes, either in the primary or the secondary object, try to observe the body. There you find the earning a human body, earning humanity is the highest thing. If we are not practicing, we never appreciate other humans and oneself. So therefore, as far as we are practicing, we may appear like loving kindness and kind of thing. So my view is, as far as you are practicing mindfulness, you are taken the universal kind of a compassion. Because at least you are not killing someone. At least you are not robbing someone. At least you are not sexually misconduct with others. You are not uttering word, lying, slandering, the harsh words and tail carrying. And that understanding will keep you nourishing day by day. Definitely, I hope the interview reports to yet to come, you may encourage to write as it is, not fabrications, not what you have heard, but if you are telling, then you can claim, you can fight, you can directly talk with Magandhya and say, what you are telling is correct, but lucky enough we are Buddhist. We have our helm, we have our controlling power, even though it is 100% claim, we know the loopholes of the distractions, but we are developing day by day the mindfulness, the strength of mindfulness and the healing power of the mindfulness. And then at that time you may be invited to any kind of visual object, any sounds, and you try to maintain the balance just like a tightrope walking. You never lose the sight of your primary object or the body or the mindfulness. So there you, people may not claim or people not give you the credit of that you are a meditator. But I think never mind. Give up meditation, try to be mindful, and then definitely whole benefits of the sasana, you will be the real owner. So with that remark, I would like to sum up today's talk. We'll continue along the sutta next time. Thank you very much for the participation. I hope Sumedha can share merits.
Yes, Bhante. Yes, Bhante, may we share merit and ask forgiveness, Bhante? O kāsa vandāmi, Bhante.
Sukhi hontu.
Maya katan kunyang sāmina anumoditabha.
Sādhu sādhu anumodāmi.
Sāmina katam puññam maihaṃda tabbaṃ.
Sādhu anumodi tabbaṃ.
Sādhu sādhu anumodāmi. Ōkāsa dvāra tena katam sattvaṃ acchayaṃ khamatame bhante.
Khamāmi khamitabbaṃ.
Ōkāsa khamāmi bhante.
Sukhi hontu.
Dutiyampi ōkāsa khamāmi bhante.
Sukhi hontu.
Tatiyampi.
So we are going to recite the blessings of the Sangha. Please listen attentively. Abhivadana silissa nichang vadda pachayino chattaro dhamma vaddanti ayuvanno sukang balang ayurarogya sampatti thagga sampatti mevacha ato nibbana sampatti minate samijjatu.